the joy of welcoming a special guest to Destiny, Pastor Julie Norwood. Come on, give it up for her this morning. Yay. Pastor Julie, she's the founder and the CEO of Big Truth Ministries, and she's faithfully served in Christian ministry for more than 25 years. How about that? She's an ordained minister, seminary graduate, a lead pastor, a Christian media leader, and a passionate voice of hope and encouragement for the body of Christ. Just through church leadership and community outreach and women's ministry and Christian radio. Anybody hear Julie on the radio? Yeah. Pastor Julie's just given her life to helping people deepen their faith and discover who Jesus is, the hope that he has that we've been singing about this morning. So she's also the founder and a visionary behind Highest Praise Radio and Total Worship Radio, as well as the founder of the Black Hills Christian Women's Conference. Anybody? Beautiful, beautiful gathering here in the Black Hills. And but beyond all those titles and accomplishments, she's just family. She's part of the family here in the body of Christ in Rapid City, and we are so honored to welcome you this morning. Would you give another round of applause for our guest, Pastor Julie Norwood?
I did it. Good morning. I told my aunties and my sister I have the face for radio. God's like, oh, I got it. I got something for you. It's good to be here, Destiny. God bless you. So grateful to be in fellowship today with you, family and friends and new friends and new family. We are the body of Christ. Amen. We are the body, many members and one body. So I'm grateful to be here today. And I'm at that age where I have to put on glasses when I read. If you know what I'm talking about, look to your neighbor and say, that's you. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, let's get into the Word of God. Father God, thank you so much for the spirit of unity in this house. Thank you, Father God, that we are never far and distant from you. For where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would be present among us today. Father, that you would honor your word that says in Isaiah, your word never returns a void, but it sets out to accomplish that which you have ordained it. So God, take our hearts in whatever condition they are today, and we give you access and VIP, very important person in our life, to do exactly what you have for us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. John 3:30 says, more of God and less of me. That's what the scripture says. He will increase, but I must decrease. And that's a lifelong quest. That's not something that just happens once and you're done. You're like, whoo, check the box, done. It's an ongoing process. Today I want to talk to you about destiny beyond disappointment. Destiny beyond disappointment. And I would be amiss if I didn't say good morning to those that I've invited to church today. So grateful. Some of you have left your church to come see me, hear the word of God, and others have gotten out of bed on a Sunday morning that typically you rest today. I'm so grateful to see you. My heart, kids have grown since I left. My goodness. I think I got shorter and they got taller. I'm not sure how that works, but I'm convinced that's what's happening. So thank you so much for bringing your family today, Colin. God bless you. Washington family, love you so much. So grateful. Tina and your beautiful husband, thank you. I mean, you're not beautiful, sir. Please forgive me. Beautiful Tina and your handsome husband. Thank you so much. Eminem, we love you so much. Thank you for coming out to California and hanging out with us often. We love that. We'll do it again. This is my son, Kendall. Stand up because he loves the limelight. He loves the limelight. I'll take you to Taco John's for breakfast burritos tomorrow for standing up. Thank you so much. We talk about Taco John's often in California because there is no Taco John's. There's Taco Juan, there's Taco House, but there's no Taco John, so we miss John. From my online community, thank you for listening today and being a part. Thank you for adjusting your schedule, Kingdom Connect Ministry. We appreciate you. Serving in that ministry is Sandra and Arnie. That's them. That's them. That's them. My beautiful sister and her handsome husband. That's my sister, y'all. Uh-huh. He is not my brother except through her. Amen. Okay. And then I've got two beautiful aunties here. Auntie Veronica. Yay! And Auntie Beverly. Yeah, because everybody needs aunts, aunties. Everybody needs aunts in their life. Not the kind that crawl around, but aunties. All right. My dear friend, Liz, who helped me get through biology at Central High School in Mr. Loomer's class. I was telling Pastor that she's a W and I was a V in high school. And if she didn't sit beside me, I would not have graduated. Class of 83, the class that would never be, would be me if it wasn't for Liz, because she's smart. Okay, amen. I was the cheerleader. She was the brains. Worked out for us. Amen. Who else did I forget? Oh, John and Lynette Bars. Come on, give it up for the Bars family. Wow. Oh, Sister Lynette. We were up late outside looking at the scars and the lightning show. Did y'all see that last night? That was so beautiful. We just don't see that in California because we don't go out at night. Just kidding. But yeah, it was a beautiful thing. And Pastor Sean, God bless you. Thank you so much. And to everyone else that's here today, God bless you. So grateful to be a part of your fellowship today. Well, I just came by to remind you of this simple truth that God loves you and has an awesome plan for your life. God loves you and he has an awesome plan for your life. For over 25 years, I've had my career in Christian radio, and many of you I met through the ministry of KSLT and 97.9 The Breeze and KLMP. I ministered on those stations for many years in our city. And that's how I've ended every single show. My last track, voice track, the last time I'm live on the air, I say, thank you for spending time with me. I'm Julie Norwood. God loves you. He has an awesome plan for your life. I believe that. And I came by today to tell you that. That means that God has an individual love for you as well as a collective love, and he also has a plan. Those are 11 powerful words that can detour you onto the right track. And what sometimes gets misunderstood when we say that God loves you, he has an awesome plan for your life, what sometimes gets convoluted in that is the word awesome, right? Because when I hear the word awesome, Sandra, I'm thinking like, I'm at the top of the world, ha ha. I've got my cape on, I'm a Wonder Woman. Everything is great. I have everything I need because life is awesome. You ever heard that song? Everything is awesome. I wake up to that song every day and go, no, it's not. And turn the alarm off. should I have the G version or the truth version?
The truth.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I'm like, it is not awesome. But every day I turn that on and my alarm goes off because everything is awesome. But that word sometimes gets convoluted in our interpretation of what awesome means because we relate it to a life free of difficulties, pain, disappointments, and all of those things that seemingly are hard and difficult. But we have to realize that in the Bible, God used almost every person that was in a hard place, in a difficult place. In a place that nobody wanted to be in. Because God's plan is often more about shaping our character and drawing us close to him and using our lives for his glory versus guaranteeing our comfort. A fuller way to say God loves you and has an awesome plan for your life might be this: God loves you deeply. He desires a relationship with you through Jesus Christ, and he has a purpose for your life that is ultimately good, even when the path is difficult. Just a little bit about me. I'm a Rapid City native. I was born and raised here. In my early 20s, I moved away to explore life beyond the Black Hills, but after several years, God brought me back home. On March 27th, 1992, I gave my life to Jesus Christ at the altar of Faith Temple Church of God in Christ under the direction of Bishop Lorenzo Kelly. Bless his heart. I accepted my call to ministry at that church. I got water baptized at that church. I got full thrown into altar ministry at that church. When people would get delivered, I was the one that held the basin where people expelled. Welcome to ministry. That was my home church. And for many years, I was there. For many years, I prayed for this city like many of you pray. I've joined your prayers, and we are all praying for the beautiful people that are diverse in this city. I used to tell the church that I pastored, if our church doesn't look like Walmart, we're not done. So I've prayed many times for this city, for the people, the transformation, the new life, the deliverance, and the prosperity of this, that lives are being changed. And I hear that since I've left, that's sort of happening now. And I'm so grateful, sad that I'm not here to see it, be a part of it physically, but in the spirit, I'm here with you because this is my home. Many of you knew and remembered my late husband, Jake Norwood. The love of my life, and together we raised our two beautiful children in the city, one of which is here, Kendall, my youngest, who just graduated from Azusa Pacific University at the Music Conservatory. Give it up for God. Yes. We drove by, he knows I tell tales from the Crips about him all the time. He's like, hashtag cringe. Whenever he's like, are you going to talk about me? I'm like, absolutely. Yes, I am. No question asked about it. We drove by the Solano Karate Club on Farlow Street because many years ago when I was a single parent, his daddy passed when he was six. And I said, dude, there's two things you have to do that I can't do for you. You got to learn how to fight and defend yourself, and you got to learn how to swim. So off to jiu-jitsu class he goes, hi-ya, this little guy, hi-ya, right? We did it. And he goes, God, I don't even really remember being there all that much. And I'm like, oh, I remember that video of it. I said, you would test to get to the next belt, and I would pray. And that's been the history of our lives. Even in college, I have a class, I'm testing, I have in music conservatory, you have to play before a jury. So I prayed for him every day of every test of his life, not because I'm awesome, but because prayer works. Amen. And today he stands as a graduate with his bachelor's in commercial music. And at a very private, expensive college that I said, how in the world, God, can we afford $57,000 a year for 4 years? He walked across the stage when they called his name debt free. So I know God loves you and he has an awesome plan for your life. I know that. We heard that today from Pastor Sean as he told of the story of that disparity that he was in when everything gets taken away, the outer props. In seminary, I wrote one of my theses about no outer props necessary because God is enough. So Jake Norwood, we married, we raised our children here, now both adults. My daughter Kendra lives in Pensacola, Florida. Shout out to Kendra. She's a great lady, and she's doing her thing, traveling the world, living abroad, doing whatever she does, and I'm grateful for her in my life as well. But after Jake passed, I spent 10 years serving as a single mom and a radio personality and a lead pastor of Big Life Church. In 2020, I remarried a pastor from Riverside, California. And after our wedding, I resigned from my life and my ministry in Rapid City, and I relocated to Southern California with my then 17-year-old son, Kendall, and our dog, Caesar. Love you, Caesar, and miss you. We began a new chapter, and I was going to be a wife again. And although I no longer lived in Rapid City, I still return every January through the grace of God for the Black Hills Christian Women's Conference. We're celebrating our 10-year conference, January 23rd and 24th of 2027. So I come back for that annually, and many of my relatives are here, my family, my community. So I love Rapid City. Since relocating, I have walked through some of the most difficult seasons of my life. I willingly prayed, fasted, and believed, got counsel that I was to marry this man and relocate. And then hell happened. In SoCal with Kendall and our dog Caesar and Jesus, we no longer had the safety of Rapid City, South Dakota, and our home on Reeder Street. We no longer had our church community. We no longer had anything that was familiar. It was me and Kendall and Caesar and Jesus. I knew Rapid City. I did not know Southern California. And I know your pastor's wife is from Southern California, and it's a whole different thing. It's a whole different thing. You don't walk around and say hi to people and smile at people. I didn't know anybody. It was in the middle of COVID. Our governor was like, 2 weeks, COVID's over, we're done. You're adults, put a mask on if you want. Governor Newsom, we were on lockdown. We couldn't go out of the house. So during the day, I would drive around our little community and I would pray and I would lament and I would want things back to the way that they were. And I did everything that I could to just replace everything that was in Rapid City, South Dakota, in Southern California. It doesn't work. Don't waste your time. It doesn't work. Isaiah says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? It's springing up all around you. So after much prayer and fasting, because I truly believe that God said to marry this man, after much prayer and fasting, counsel, and tears, I made the painful decision to end my marriage. We were married for 5 years, three of which he didn't live with us. It was a decision that I didn't make lightly. Guilt, woman of God, faith, where are you? Show up. You put up with it. You call those things that are not as though they are. You pray over his feet. You anoint his head with oil. You do all of those things that you know to do, like your arsenal, your tool belt is loaded, and you've done everything you know to do, and it still hasn't changed anything. So I made the decision to walk away. After two people contacted me randomly at different times and said, I dreamt you died. Nope, I'm here. I was lamenting the decision that I had made to marry this man, uproot my life, relocate to Southern California, and it felt as though I was in captivity to the decisions that I had made for us. And as I walked away from the marriage, I reminded myself often that I took a vow willingly in Redondo Beach under God's guidance and observation in front of the very few witnesses that were there to be with this man until death parted us. And I chose to walk away. Death doesn't always come through the natural passing. My first husband and I, he passed physically. The man that I married, death came to us through vodka. The destructive, hellish behavior and effects of alcoholism brought death to our marriage and the death of what God intends marriage to be. I told my son as we were driving out here from Denver yesterday, because we flew into Denver from SoCal and then drove because who knows why I made that decision. And he was asking me that, and I said, I got nothing. I don't know why I made this decision, but here we are driving. I mean, I'm sleeping, but you're driving. Praise God for that. Because he said, I drove like an hour and 17 minutes, Eminem, like I did my due. He said, Mama, I just need to sleep a little bit because we'd gotten on the plane very early. You know, it was an early flight to Denver. 2 hours we're there. So I'm like, okay, give him an hour to sleep. You got this. You can drive an hour. You got this. I didn't have it. So the rental car that we have, every time you veer over, it goes, right? And then when I hear, I go, Jesus, right? Is this a true story? Yeah. He finally wakes up and he goes, I've slept for like 0 minutes because all I hear is Family Feud buzzer and you saying, Jesus. I said, are you ready to drive? He's like, pull over. I'm like, thank you. I had all good intentions to drive. I made it like an hour and 17 minutes. He drove the rest of the way. I think that we could all vote that he should drive back to Denver. Yeah. Oh, to be 22. So here we are in California. Death parted us. I walked away. We have some different laws in California. So I had to wait 6 months and one day after I filed for the divorce. And during that time, and I was telling my, I said all that to say, I told my son, I said, tomorrow I'm going to talk about daddy a little bit. And I'm going to talk about the man that I married. And he goes, why? Are you going to use any scripture? I said, yes. I said, but I want to make sure you're okay with it. And he agreed. But I said, Kendall, there's two things that I don't want tomorrow. One is to make this about me. And two, to put that man off as a bad person. Because he's not a bad person. He just has bad behavior. And they're two very different things. And so today I stand before you just telling you a little piece of my story, not to do anything other than to bring God glory and to tell you that in a land of unknowns, in a land that's uncomfortable, in a hard place, God has a destiny. And it's by his great grace and mercy that we can choose the path of peace from brokenness and fear. Through every season of our life, joyful and painful alike, God has remained faithful. He has never left me. He's never left you. He's never abandoned us. He's not stopped thinking about us or working in our life. And so my story is not ultimately about brokenness. It's about restoration and redemption and carrying us through even the most unexpected chapters of our journey where disappointment is screaming so incredibly loud. In the Bible, Jeremiah 29:11, and I'm reading this from the Passion Translation because this ministers to me, and you can read it in whatever version you are in, but it says the same thing. 29:11 through 14 from the Passion Translation, here's what Yahweh says to you. I know all about the marvelous destiny I have in store for you, a future planned out in detail. My intention is not to harm you, but to surround you with peace and prosperity and to give you a beautiful future, glistening with hope. Verse 12 says, when you call on me and come to me in prayer, I will listen to your every word. If you reach out to me, you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And in verse 14, I will not disappoint you. God will not disappoint you, declares Yahweh. All that you've lost, I will restore, and I will regather you from the nations where I have scattered you. I will bring you back home to the land from which I exiled you, declares Yahweh. Jeremiah 29:11 is one of the most quoted passages in the Bible. But its context makes it even more powerful. Listen to the setting of what Jeremiah 29:11 is. You see, the prophet Jeremiah was writing a letter to the Jewish exiles who had been taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. They had lost their homes, their nation, and much of what was familiar to them. There were false prophets who in the land that were telling the people that their captivity would end quickly. I have found that the enemy specializes in this ideology. Get it done. It's horrible. It's hard. Get through it and move on. That's what 29:11 meant to me out of Jeremiah. Just get through the hard stuff. It's not going to last. Put your big boy girl pants on and get over there and get it done, because there's more stuff to come. Can I tell you that that's the enemy's ideology, and he specializes in get this over with, get it done, I'm hurting. But God, through the prophet Jeremiah, told them something that they didn't want to hear. This isn't going to be a drive-through experience. Take a chair and have a seat at the table. You're going to be here a minute. And I love one of the favorite scriptures in the whole entire Bible is found in Psalms 23. We know that. We quote that often. But verse 5 hit me in such a way that I can't explain the power of it. Psalm 23, verse 5 says this: I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Now, we don't wrestle against personalities. We wrestle against the principalities behind the personalities. And for me, my table of enemies includes things like insecurity, low self-esteem, past hurts, things that have happened in my life that try to take me away from a destiny that God created for me. On social media just this week, I talked about Amos 3:3 that says this is a very simple verse. How can two walk together unless they agree? And what happens, Auntie, is that we want God to come into our life and come into agreement with what we said. And God is saying, oh no, you got it wrong. I want you to come into agreement with what I say about your life. So when I say things like I'm insecure, I don't have enough money, I'll never do it, this negative, that negative, and Nellie and all the aunts and uncles that come along with that, we're not coming into agreement with God says, because in Psalm 139, God says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And he created me in his image before my mother, surely, I was even in her womb. So when we're focusing on the negative and the deficits, we're not coming into agreement with God says. How can two walk together unless you agree? So the presence of your enemies means that God has set a table before them with you. And he wants you to come in and not have a drive-through experience where you talk into a box and in California it's an AI box. It's not even a real person. And they're much more accurate. Sorry, did I just say that? I don't see a person until I get to the drive-through. And then I want them to hand me my food. I tap my phone and I go on my way. And that's how I wanted my life to be when it came to hard things. I wanted a drive-through experience. God is saying to the people in Jeremiah, and maybe to you too, as he said to me, no, I need you to come here, sit down at the table. You're going to be here a minute. But we've got some things to talk about. It's not always a drive-through experience. It's a sit down with Jesus and have a meeting experience. Because what God was telling the people is that you're going to be in captivity. You're going to be in Babylon for 70 years. And most of the people hearing this message would not even live to return home. They would die in captivity. And what God told them before verse 11 was this: I need you to build houses. I need you to plant gardens. I need you to marry and I need you to have families, because God is generational. He says this: I want you to seek the peace and the prosperity of Babylon. Wait a minute, God, we're in exile. We're in bondage. You want us to plant and build and create? What? Yes. And Babylon was actually an ancient city. It's a real place. God said, I want you to sit down and I want you to live here. In other words, God was telling them that you're going to be here, so make the best of it by living your best life, by trusting me. In verse 11 through 14, I know the plans, the marvelous destiny I have for you, a future planned in detail, because my intention is not to harm you, but to surround you with peace and prosperity and to give you a beautiful future glistening with hope. That's anything than where they were. But God wasn't promising immediate rescue. He wasn't promising any of those things. He was assuring them that their suffering was not the end of the story. He was assuring them that he had not forgotten them. And he was assuring them that his purposes them were still good when hellish conditions were everywhere around them. There was restoration coming. I thought a lot about my brother Job. Not Joe, he'll be flying in later, but my brother Job in the Bible. I thought a lot about him in my distressful seasons. Job says this in the Bible. This is the King James Version. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's not a statement of understanding. See, we don't have to understand God to trust God. We just have to decide to trust God. Because that statement from Job in 13:15 is a statement of faith. And sometimes life doesn't make sense, and sometimes the answers don't come, but by faith, hallelujah, God, even when I don't understand what you're doing, when I don't see your hand, when I'm miserable, I will trust your heart. Because many of us, myself included, I was learned from Bishop Kelly, don't go up there and get in front of God's people and tell them something like you don't know nothing about. Yes, sir. If you know anything about Bishop Kelly, you call him sir. Except for a few people that would call him Bish. I'm like, Bish? What's Bish? I don't know. I don't understand it. To me, he was a sir. So I'm telling you something that I've walked through. When hell is around you and hellish conditions are trying to overtake you, you may not understand it. So what happens is you begin to dummy down your destiny. It's called compromise. God called you to this. Remember what we just read? A beautiful future glistening with hope. But you dummy down that destiny to, well, at least I'm here. Praise God. At least, you know, I'm doing what I can. And we dummy down stuff instead of saying, you know what? I'm going to make it through this. And I'm going to do exactly what God says because he has a destiny for me. Even when we're in those exile Babylonian experiences, when we are in captivity, do not dummy down what God says about you. Because Joseph's pit was not a detour or a denial. It was part of the path. And it was God's path for Joseph's destiny. I'm here to tell you that your road to your destiny can be unexpected. Please listen to the word of the Lord. Your destiny can be unexpected, unwanted, and profoundly unfair. Yet, you can still be on the right track. God's track. Hear God's heart in verse 13 of Jeremiah 29. If you reach out to me, you will find me. When you search for me with all of your heart, I will not disappoint you, declares Yahweh. For all that you have lost, I will restore and I will regather you from the nations where I have scattered you. I will bring you back home to the land from which I exiled you, declares Yahweh. The promise of a plan for your life is not that life will be easy. The promise is that God is faithful, God is powerful, and God is present, and he's working toward his purposes even when you're living in your own Babylon. It's in the midst of those horrid seasons that my will had to come under the subjection of God's will. I'm telling you, I fought God so much. I felt like I asked AI to create an image and it just was kind of creepy. So I didn't bring it to you today because I didn't want your pastor to go like, what in the world is this woman preaching about? Because AI kind of creates some creepy things sometimes. But in my head, I would be crying out to God and it would be like God was this big person with a hand on my forehead, right? And I got my boxing gloves on and I'm boxing him. And I can't even reach him because he's got me at arm's length. And my boxing aim comes about right here. And I felt like I was just boxing God. Why did my marriage end? Why is this? Why does that? Why da-da-da? And you get it, it's exhausting. Your will has to come under subjection to God's will. And please hear this. Was it God's will that I got divorced? That's above my pay grade. I don't know. But I knew that it was not God's will for me to live in fear with mace beside me and a club beside my bed. I knew that it was not God's will for my son to be mistreated and mishandled by a man that was only supposed to show him how a Christian man lives. So I don't know if it was God's will that I got divorced. It was my will, because I did not want me or my son or my witness to the precious people that call me pastor to see me living in such oppression. So I don't advocate divorce. I advocate Jesus and the destiny that he has for each of us. The promise is that God is faithful. And in those horrid seasons, God has never left me. There's so much that I don't want to get into because I don't want it to seem like he is a horrible person. We are amicable. I was telling John and Lynette last night because they know him. God bless them. They are beautiful people. If you have not gotten to know them, and Lynette's a little bit reserved, and I can feel her giving me the evil eye right now because I'm bringing attention to her, but she's my sister, and she has seen the best of me, and she will love me anyway, and she will still feed me when I get to her house tonight. Lynette made almost all of our wedding decorations that we packed up and took to Redondo Beach. They knew him. My church knew him. When he asked me to marry him, he stood in front of my church and said, "The Bible says a man that finds a wife finds a good thing, and I found a good thing. Can I please marry your pastor?" I was like, "Oh my God, yes, thank you, Jesus." It was beautiful. He has a good heart. He means well. But addiction is real. I was telling them last night, we still communicate. He sends me a text, "Happy birthday, happy Mother's Day." I'm like, "Yep, today's a tender day for you. You lost your son on this day." I don't hate him. I don't hate him. Why would I hate him? I just couldn't be married to him. So the thing about your destiny is that when it looks horrible and it's uncomfortable, God is still with you, and your story is still being written. For the one who's suffering today, for the one who's lonely, for the one who's feeling disqualified and left behind, I want to tell you that something else happened during those difficult years in my life. In the hardest part of my journey, birthing came forth. What was death was actually new life. And endings became places of new beginnings. And what felt like loss became fertile ground for God to do something new. And during that time, I had nothing to offer. Nothing. I could ask my son, "Your children get the front row seat to your life." I had nothing to offer. I was at a deep, dark place. I had nothing to offer. Yet, God led me to launch internet radio stations that continue even today to share the gospel and encourage people around the world. During that dark season, God birthed Big Truth Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to sharing Jesus with every person through media, events, and experiences. More importantly, God was doing a deeper work inside of me. He was teaching me empathy in ways I could not have ever learned through being comfortable. God was giving me a greater self-awareness and revealing clarity in areas of my own heart, please hear me, that desperately needed his healing, his correction, and his grace. Difficult seasons have a way of stripping away our illusions and bringing us face to face with our dependency upon God. Spiritual maturity is not about thinking that we have it all together. It's about allowing God to transform you from the inside out. through my pain, my loss, extreme disappointment, and fear. God was not changing my circumstances, but he was changing me. And perhaps that's where some of you find yourself today. Somewhere along the way, you have lost sight of the person God created you to be and the destiny that he placed within you. And today, I believe the Holy Spirit is inviting you to become reacquainted with your destiny, not the destiny that others had assigned to you, not the labels and circumstances that have been placed on you, not the limitations of your past. I'm talking about the destiny God spoke over your life before you were even born. The dreams that he plants in your heart, the promises he created to fulfill, and the person he is shaping you to become. Your destiny may seem like it's delayed, but it has not been destroyed. You see, God's purpose for your life has not expired. If you still have breath in your lungs, God is still writing your story. So I want to challenge you today to seek God again. Dream with God again. Trust God again. Submit your will to his will and reach for the future that he has prepared for you. Become reacquainted with the destiny that God has lovingly designed for your life. Because God loves you and he has an awesome plan for your life. If we could just seek the Lord together, this doesn't have to have any kind of agenda attached to it. But I believe that God gave me this message today. I don't share about myself very often because I learned a long time ago, it's about God. It just involves me. And I'll be honest, I don't share a lot because I'm afraid of you're gonna judge me. And you're gonna like, I don't know. But I was like, okay, God, again, subject my will to your will. And God knew you were gonna be here today. God knew that we were gonna spend this time together in his presence. So I just want to pray over you, and I don't know what the protocol of this house is, except I know the heart of your pastor. He loves the Lord, and there's freedom in this house, never shame. So if we could just, sorry, you can tell me no. Can we dim the lights just a little bit? And let's really focus in on God. And as you focus in on God, I want you to even focus more in on you. Jesus and therapy. I'm a fan. Because I don't know everything. I don't know how my brain works. I don't know about PTSD. I don't know about hurts and how my brain gets rewired and prefers, you know, just common familiarity so I feel safe. But my therapist does, and so she tells me, and I take notes every Wednesday at 4:00, so I can learn more about me. And being able to do that has allowed me to grow as a person. And as a person, I'm growing in God because I'm growing as a person. So I want you to focus on you today. And let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you, God, that you never leave us, even in our most difficult seasons. And can you just make that personal if you want and say, God, you've never left me in my seasons. In all my shenanigans, God, you've not left me. God, I know there are people here hurting. I want you to bring comfort to them, Father God. And for those who are weary, please bring them strength. For the one who feels lost, God, please bring direction and remind each one of us that our life is in your hands and that you have a purpose for us that is good. Father God, I pray that you would help us to trust you when we cannot see the path forward. Give us courage to surrender our plans and embrace your will. Heal what is broken, Father God. Restore what has been lost and even what we've given up, and renew hope that there is a future. Father God, help us to remember that our story is not over and you are still working and writing. Point us in the direction with confidence of our destiny, because you have prepared it for us. And how can two walk together lest we agree? So God, we pray that every step of the way you would bring us your presence and your power, that you would be glorified and it would be for our gain. Romans 8:28. With every eye not looking around, but just really honing in on the deficits of your life, not in a bad and shameful, embarrassing, accusatory way, but in a clarity way. If you don't admit to God, he cannot work on anything but the truth. And I believe that no one has greater control or influence over you and your life than you, except God. If you've come into agreement with compromise and less than, I want you to divorce that today. It's like a twin pop. When you separate a twin pop, they're not getting back together. I want you to divorce that today. And I want you to know that God loves you and he has an awesome plan for your life. And whatever's been holding you back, admit it. Be honest. And if you can't leave it alone, ask God to help you. Why you can't leave it alone. As you're focusing on yourself, my experience is that God, when I pray and ask God to move something or help me, he hands me a shovel. Because there's a part that I have to do, that I must do, because it's going to benefit me. It takes a whole egg to make a good omelet. And when we haven't been honest with our deficits before God and admitted some things, we're not a whole egg. We're the polished version of the egg. But God says, come as you are. And if that's you today, and you're coming limping, crawling, or standing still, I still want you to come. There's nothing magical about this altar. The altar is the place where you meet God. And it can be your heart or it can be this physical altar in front of us. My prayer is not that you will respond out of any other reason except you want more of God. John 3:30. He will increase, but I must decrease. God can't always be glorified in our messes. He helps us with our messes. But God gets the most glory when we walk boldly and confidently in faith. So today, if you need special prayer, if you need to come to Jesus, if you need anything, I don't have it, but God does. Because he loves you and he has an awesome plan for your life. So take that step. And just come to the altar. God will meet you right here. No shame, no shade. Because at the end of the day, I'm in Rapid City because my dear Auntie Vera moved to heaven. And we're going to honor her life tomorrow. 94 years. I love my auntie. She gave my son his Lakota name, Chante Washte, which is a good heart. She's been dear to me. And we're going to honor her tomorrow. That's why I'm in Rapid City. But I promise you, God ordained me being here today through your pastor. So if you need to come to the altar, please come to the altar. Let's pray together. Let's believe God for your destiny. Let's be strong and courageous and divorce those things that so easily beset you and lie to you and tell you that you're not going to make it, that you're not good enough. And if nobody comes, it's okay. Just want to take that pressure off. I'm going to be quiet and give you a chance to hear and wrestle with your own self-will to come to the altar if you need to come.